Holidays in Britain. Rutland. Our program this afternoon is about England's smallest county and is introduced by Paul Humphreys.
The bells of Oakham Parish Church, and I think they make a fitting prelude to a program about Rutland, which within its small area contains so many fine churches. We shall be hearing about some of them later. Many of you will know Rutland only as England's smallest county. Some who do know it may be puzzled by its inclusion in a holiday series of this kind. But crowded beaches and continental tours aren't to everybody's taste. Rutland offers something different.
I used to live on the edge of Rutland, and I remember entertaining a widely travelled friend. I took him out one day over the gently rolling uplands between Melton Mowbray and Oakham to the tiny capital of the smallest shire, and then, after wandering round the open-air market near the castle, on to Uppingham, where the great school dominates the little hilltop town like a medieval monastery. And although it was an A road and a fine morning in summer, we hardly saw another car, perhaps one every mile or so. And he suddenly remarked it was as good as Ireland, for peace and quiet and the rare feeling of being away from it all. He was astonished to see how clean everything was, how beautifully neat the farming, the splendid stone-built houses and barns. It was and is an almost unblemished countryside, and that morning it shone with peace and plenty. I wrote a little guidebook to Rutland about 20 years ago, and I said what I thought then. Rutland is a small part of England as she used to be, before the Industrial Revolution, unspoiled, clean, full of fine buildings, country smells and sounds, good arable farming, great stone barns, neatness, order and natural good taste almost everywhere. It hasn't changed since then. Rutland's part of the great stone belt, the oolitic limestone that crosses England from the Dorset coast right up to Yorkshire. This beautiful stone's been quarried for centuries. It gives us the scores of splendid medieval churches and secular building of all sorts, from cottage up to country house. It's the Cotswold stone, but Rutland is much more than just an outlier of the Cotswolds. It's a more homely and intimate country than those great open spaces. I remember, too, the byroads of Rutland with their wide grass verges, so unlike my hedged-in native Devon, where you could stop and picnic almost anywhere without being hooted at or poisoned with diesel fumes, and the heavy scent of the hawthorn all along the walls and hedges in May, the crown of the Midland summer. Rutland is so peaceful that I once suggested, more than half in earnest, that it ought to become our first human conservancy, a place of refuge for harassed human beings, just as we have special reserves to protect birds and animals and plants. But this isn't to say that Rutland is a dead little museum piece. Far from it. It's a living and a prosperous bit of an older, a happier and a more human England.
That testimony to the charm of Rutland was by W.G. Hoskins, who, as he said, wrote the guidebook, and also, more recently, the Shell Guide to the County.
I came to Rutland in 1929 and was married in 1932. Very quickly, we decided that Rutland was such a lovely place that eventually, when retirement came, which was a long way off then, that we would retire and endeavour to get a stone cottage with a colley-western roof with a view. In 1964... the old school, the school at Hambleton, was closed down, the village school, and by great good fortune we were able to buy it and convert it, and here we live with a wonderful view, a stone house and a colley-western roof. Ambition of 40 years fully realised.
I'm a true Rutland Rattleman. You know, that's a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
From the red soil of the county, or some people say it came from rattling the sheep. It's a grand and small county. It's valleys and hills, all in miniature, but so beautiful. You can still see miles on from the hills. The woods with their violets, primroses and bluebells in the springtime, still gathered for the village children for their May garlands. I like Every bit of it. It's a beautiful county. There's no better place in England.
My relation with Rutland is really rather a special one, because I was born there 50 years ago almost exactly, and lived there until I was 10. My whole childhood was spent there, in fact, and then I left, and since I've only been back on very rare and very carefully planned occasions. You see, I use Rutland as a sort of device for getting away from the present, getting back into the past, because once you get there, you will find that very little has changed, certainly not for 40 years, and probably for very much longer than that. I always like to go in May, or perhaps June. May, because the place is full of blossom, but I think my real choice would be June. June in those marvellous lanes connecting the villages of Rutland with the cow parsley shoulder high and the air alive with the sound of insects. My town was Uppingham, that's where I was born. Uppingham has changed a little. The London Road now bisects the High Street because of the traffic that it carries, rather than the other way around, and this to some extent has spoiled the fine continuity of this beautiful street. But in the back streets, in the little alleyways, it's all exactly as it was. But it's in the villages, and especially in the lanes that join the villages, that time has really stood still.
Those devotees of Rutland were John Smith, Dulcie Ellingworth, and David Walters. Roland Tyler is a Rutland farmer, like his father before him.
Rutland is sort of divided across from west to east by three rivers, and the Ugwash, the Chater, and the Welland, and the three plateaus, and then running down to the valleys, so that the land is mainly red land, easy working land, fertile, very good farming land, in between on the plateaus and running down to these valleys. It does vary quite a bit, in that on the particular valley that I'm in, on the Welland Valley, and running up to the A47 that runs along the top, we're on the limestone side of the county, very good barley land, good big fields, thorn hedges, divided up, and we keep them cut every year, trimmed, not big hedges, quite small ones, good fertile fields, good barley land. There are many villages in the county, and they all feature the local stone. The two main stones in the county are ironstone and limestone. Ironstone around the Uppingham district, limestone more over on the east. And in both cases, the villages feature that, because their buildings are all built with this local stone. In this particular village, they're all built with limestone and roofed with Colley Wesson slates. Although that isn't a Rutland stone, it's only just over the border in Northamptonshire, where the stone is quarried and split down with the frost and made into Colley Wesson slates.
Roland Tyler refers to the characteristic stone of the villages. Raymond Dalby, builder of Uppingham, tells us about it.
Well, they're all quite distinctive and not dissimilar, in fact, to the Cotswold type of building in many areas. Some of the stone looks, in fact, very much like the Cotswold stone. Others, like our own town, Uppingham, has quite a distinctive stone. It is a local sandstone, and, of course, the colour... These stones are all basically the same, but the colour is imparted into it by the amount of ironstone within the contained in the stone. The Uppingham stone varies from browns to purples, and really is, once it's weathered, is a most delightful stone. Of course, it's not quarried now, so for any building one does now, one has to depend on pulling down old buildings. Well, then, of course, there are the local freestones, which generally comprise of Ketton, Clipsham, and Weldon. These stones are very well known, very widely used in such buildings as the Houses of Parliament, some, I believe, in Buckingham Palace, the universities at Oxford and Cambridge. They are freestones, and that is a very regular stone. They're used for a lot of ashlar work. You may not know what ashlar is, the ordinary layman doesn't, but it is the smooth-faced, regular masonry with in regular joints and courses. It's quite delightful work, and of course very high-class workmanship is needed to both prepare the stone and to lay it. And you get some very good varieties of this type of work in the, well, in the whole area.
Rutland has 50 churches. We have a number of churches with spires, towers, and bellcots. And you can see all types within the county. Now, as you go round the county, you will inevitably see the larger churches like Wissendine, Empingham, with its very imposing west door, and Oakham, and Ketton, with its fine Norman west door, and Liddington, with its two famous brasses. You can say, broadly speaking, that no church in the county is without some great treasure. Take, for example, Brook, with its late Elizabethan pews and 17th century pulpit, and the graves of Henry Rawlins and his five wives round him. Market Overton, with its very fine Saxon arch between nave and tower, built in 1029. Then there is Tee, with its 18th century pews facing each other across the aisle, and wooden canopied pulpit at the west end, with reading desk and class desk below it. It also has a very unusual font, which is made of wood lined with lead and fitted on a bracket. Then Stoke Dry, with its three fine table tombs of the Digbys, and a wooden bier dated 1695. And, of course, Tickencote, just off the Great North Road, near Stamford, with its magnificent five-moulded Norman chancel arch and vaulted ceiling, which is almost unique in the country as a whole. In this village of Riddington, we have an ancient tympanum over the vestry door and a collection of musical instruments used up to the middle of the last century. At Wardley, there is a barrel organ, which still plays a tune, and at Edith Weston, a Commonwealth clock made in 1658, and on no account miss the magnificent monuments by Grinling Gibbons and Nollikins in Exton Church.
Rear Admiral Bateson of Riddlington on the many and varied churches of Rutland and their contents. The two principal towns of Rutland are Oakham and Uppingham, both still peaceful country towns. John Barber lives in Oakham, where he's a master at the school.
I have been in Oakham for many years now, not only as a boy, but also now on the staff of the school where I once was, and I find it a fascinating place in which to live. People say that Oakham has altered over the years, but this is only partially true. I find it very much the same. The centre of the town hasn't altered essentially, and where it has altered, it's been tastefully altered. It's a fascinating little place with its charming high street and its picturesque market square, and I always personally like the wonderful sight of the flowering cherry trees in Church Street in the spring, something that it's, once one was seen, one never forgets. It contains a number of interesting places. The old Buttercross in the Market Square is interesting, and underneath are the stocks, five holes, which always puzzles people. There is the church, a magnificent walled church with a number of very interesting features. There is the school, of course, which I've mentioned, and one can still see the original old school dating from the 16th century. This has been converted recently into a most fascinating Shakespearean theatre. And then, of course, over and above all, is the castle. Now, I don't want you to be disappointed if you don't see something with towers and crenellations. Oakham Castle was never that type of building. It is more a fortified manor house. And it's all gone except for the central hall. But this really is magnificent. It's as good a Norman hall as one will see anywhere in the country. And round about it is a pleasant park and the outline of the old walls. It's a fascinating place, and inside it one can see a whole collection of horseshoes. These horseshoes adorn the walls, and one can see horseshoes presented by Her Majesty the Queen, Prince Philip, and the Queen's father, to mention but a few. These horseshoes are, as it were, a forfeit extracted by the lord of the manor when any peer of the realm or royal personage comes to Oakham. Possibly in the early days, there's a reason for this. In those early days, the lord of the manor had to put up important people, and I think probably a number of them disappeared early in the morning without paying their bills. And this was why a forfeit of a horseshoe was taken. These horseshoes being restored in the morning, of course. But really, it is a place which grows upon one. I myself have now been here for some 30 years, on and off, and the longer I stay here, the more I enjoy its quiet country charm.
Let's go back further in history. John Barber again.
Few of the archaeological sites in the county have been scientifically excavated. That does not mean to say that there is not plenty of archaeological material beneath the soil of Rutland, much of it explored unscientifically by winning of ironstone ore, etc. But the one site that has been scientifically excavated is at Great Casterton. And here has been unearthed a Roman villa by the side of the River Gwash, a Roman town, part of a Claudian camp, cemeteries of both Roman and Anglo-Saxon date, and also a pottery kiln. Here was obviously a site of great importance in Roman times. The majority of the material from these sites, both the scientifically explored sites and the other ones, can now be seen in the new museum in Oakham. And this is a museum well worthy of a visit by anybody. Not only is it housed in a beautiful building, formerly a riding school, built by Napoleonic prisoners of war, within it one can see all these treasures that I've mentioned to you, and not only those, but also many pieces of folk stuff, which were collected by the late Mr. Bolton, headmaster of Casterton Secondary Modern School. The two together form a unique collection for a county so small. There are other things that can be seen. There is the little grass-cut maze at Wing. There is the bead house at Liddington, formerly the palace of the bishops of Lincoln in the days when the Diocese of Lincoln stretched from the Humber right down to the Thames. The Ministry of Works have been to a great deal of trouble to put this in good order, and it is a most fascinating and building well worth a visit.
And Rutland, though mainly rural, has one monument which belongs to industrial archaeology, to the railway age. David Walters.
Rutland, I remember, was very well provided with railways for such a little place. In particular, the Midland Railway, which cut the place in half from north to south and traversed, at what must have been great expense, across the grain of the country, so to speak, necessitating great earthworks and many difficult and deep tunnels through the limestone ridges, and eventually sailed south out of the county across that tremendous viaduct over the Welland Valley. I forget how many, I think it's 62 symmetrical arches strung across this gentle open valley, rather like a necklace, and giving to that landscape a sort of classical discipline, because it strides across, you know, with the assurance and the power of a Roman aqueduct.
Rutland is not a county of great houses like neighbouring Northamptonshire, though no visitor can fail to notice the great classical facade of Burley on the Hill, which dominates the surrounding countryside. But there are other attractions less obvious.
I think one of our attractive features is the continuity of things. I mean, you go into our churches and our churchyards, you'll see the names on the tablets, on the tombstones, 300-400 years back. Yeah. And those names are still alive in the villages today. I mean, there's an old chap, Rawlings, with 4 or 5 wives buried in Brook. There's still a Rawlings in Brook with children and his cousins in Braunston here. We're a very traditional county, really and truly. I wouldn't say quite we were feudal still, but in many ways we are in the villages, and hunting is a feudal pastime. Yeah. We are in the middle of the hunting shires. The Cottesmore hounds are the pack that cover the whole of Rutland, and indeed stretch into Leicestershire and Lincolnshire as well. And there is a lot of riding, both hunting and hacking about when one is not hunting. Probably a very good way to see the countryside. You're not travelling as fast as you are in a motor car. You can see over the hedges, which you can't in a low car. There is a great deal of unspoilt countryside. Certain number of quiet roads, bridle paths and footpaths, which the county council try and keep open as far as they can. But it is a very beautiful rolling countryside. One can find a ridge and ride or walk along a sort of hog's back of a ridge, and you see the view both sides of you. Rather stormy day, the lovely lights of the sun chasing through the clouds on the opposite sides of the hill. We haven't any major features like mountains or large rivers. Our two rivers are more small streams than anything. But we're not dull, flat country. We're very changeable. The other way to see it, of course, is walking. It's up and downhill. Hard work. You want to be fit. But you get the most lovely views doing it. I enjoy going away for holidays, but I would always come back to live here. It's country. It's pure country.
Joanna Spencer was recommending the pleasures of hunting, riding and walking in Rutland. For the naturalist, there's the bird sanctuary at Eyebrook Reservoir, and of course other rural sports.
There are stretches of woodland, a certain amount of shooting goes on. There's fishing down the River Welland, the Gwash as well, but the Welland is particularly well suited to coarse fishing. The casual visitor can get a licence from the Stamford Angling Society or the Uppingham Angling Society to fish in the River Welland on a day basis or on a weekly basis. And then if anyone wants a holiday on the farm, I think he could be accommodated too in hay time and harvest or potato picking, where a lot of help can be given to the farmer. I well remember one of my cousins coming from London, one Whitson, and she particularly asked that we should arrange some work to do. We made silage over that weekend, and they did everything they possibly could. And I remember them going back with blistered hands, but very happy and very pleased that they'd been to our little county and done something useful over the weekend.
Roland Tyler again. One couldn't regard Rutland as a famous gastronomic centre, but one can eat well there, and there are a few local dishes and specialities and some excellent hotels and pubs.
We used to have Rutland plum shuttles that were given out to the farmers when they were farm men, mm-hmm. when they were hired. Mm-hmm. On Plough Monday, they had a Rutland plum shuttle and a shilling, and then they were hired. Mm-hmm. And they were also given out on St. Valentine's Day to the maids in the county. And the last place to give the Rutland plum shuttles out was the village of Market Overton. The cheesecakes were very lovely, because we had such good cream and milk, and there was plenty of it, you see, and they were made for the feast, Oakham Feast, and the villagers always had the cheesecakes as well. We still make Grantham gingerbreads, and pork pies and sausages, we're famous for those. We have good food in Rutland, very good food.
The two towns, Oakham and Uppingham, have their hotels. I'm not conscious of bed and breakfast places, as there are in Scotland or Cornwall, Devon, but most of the villages now, the village pubs, do meals. This is a new feature over the last few years. I think more and more people tend to go out for a treat. Almost all the village pubs, which used to be rather smoky, fuggy places, have been done up by the different breweries, and the publican's wife is probably a jolly good cook.
Dulce Illingworth and Joanna Spencer on Rutland food and pubs. Let's finish with a song. It's a traditional song and is associated with Rutland. Robin, Lend Me Thy Bow, sung by the choir of Casterton Village College. Now, Robin, Lend to Me Thy Bow, a traditional song sung by the Casterton Village College Choir under their musical director, Kenneth Roberts. So there's Rutland for you, peaceful, unspectacular, as Joanna Spencer put it, just country, but well worth a visit.
That programme about Rutland was arranged and introduced by Paul Humphreys. It's the last programme in the present Holidays in Britain series.